With, if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the chapter is 7 and the verses are 21 through 23. This is going to be our scriptural text for this evening. Matthew, the chapter is 7 and the verses are 21 through 23. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, there the Bible reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" A little boy asked Pope Francis a question. And that question was, "Is my dad in heaven?" The boy questioned whether or not his father made it to heaven, because although the boy considered his father to be a good man, a man who had his four children sprinkled, or as the world likes to call it, baptized in the Catholic Church, he did these things, yet he also revealed to the Pope that his father was an atheist. And the Pope had an answer for the boy. After receiving this question, the Pope began by acknowledging the boy's remarks about his father being a good man. He went on to discuss the fact that the father had his four children sprinkled and how this was pleasing to God, because as an unbeliever, baptizing his children showed the character of his heart. The Pope then turned and addressed the crowd and asked the crowd if God would leave a man like this far from him. The Pope then asked if God would abandon his children, especially when they are good. And upon doing so, the crowd kind of murmured, and then the Pope told them to speak up, speak up. And basically, he told this little boy that God was proud of his father and assured him that he was in heaven. Now, I bring this up to say this: people tell people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And this falls in line with a false belief that everyone that dies goes to heaven. That you can live your life however you want, doesn't matter how you do so, and in the end you gain eternal life. This is a nice thought, but untrue. And this isn't untrue because I refuse to believe what everyone else believes. This is untrue because it's not what the Scriptures teach. As Christians, as members of the Lord's body who do not believe that everyone who died simply goes to heaven, it is because of this proper understanding of Scripture that there has arisen a question. A question that we will be addressing this evening, as that question is the subject of our study. So, with these things in mind, and from this passage of Scripture, we will be studying the subject on this evening: are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? Are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? You know, as members of the Lord's Church, this is a question that I'm sure I'm not the only one who has received or who has heard consistently. Being members or being affiliated with the Lord's Church comes with this, "Oh, well, who do you think you are to say that the Lord's Church or that the Church of Christ is the only ones going to heaven?" So there are three things that I would like to bring to our attention regarding this subject. Three things, and then the lesson is yours. The first of which is this: the church that Jesus built went by several names in the New Testament. The church that Jesus built went by several names in the New Testament. The name simply denotes who the church belongs to. And who does the church belong to? Well, we were purchased by the blood of Christ, according to Acts chapter 20 at verse 28. Therefore, we, the church, belong to Christ. Christ may have, the church may have gone by several names in the Scriptures, but they were not different names. The church of God is found several times in Acts chapter 20 at verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 32, chapter 11 verse 22, chapter 15 verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1, Galatians chapter 1 verse 13. The church is also referred to as the household of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15. The church of God, the household of God, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ All these are scriptural designations for the same body or assembly of people who belong to Christ, known as the Church of Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. The chapter is 16, and the verse is 16. Romans, the chapter is 16, and the verse is 16. In Romans 16:16, the Bible reads, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." Well, what is meant by churches of Christ? Paul is saying that all the congregations of Christ, all those local churches or local congregations that make up the universal church that belongs to Christ. The churches, or the congregations in the Bible had the same teachings and beliefs. They all had the same teachings and beliefs. The apostles and first century Christians did not go throughout the world establishing churches with different teachings and different beliefs. And as a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. They preached, they taught, and they believed the exact same thing. They spoke of the need for unity. And labeling for means of division was a practice that God rebuked through Paul. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 10 through 11. 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 1, and the verses are 10 through 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 10, there the Bible reads, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Paul says that members should all agree and that there should be no divisions among them. Christ was not divided, so for them to attempt to divide themselves was error because it went against their command to be united. And we also have to understand that not all churches of Christ today are scriptural. Just because a congregation or a building has the words Church of Christ above their door does not mean that they are scriptural. We have more details about the Lord's church than just the name of the church. If you book the flight to Tucson, Arizona, a recommended city. I would recommend everyone visit there. But if you book a flight to Tucson, Arizona, and you are told a man named Carlos Valenzuela is going to pick you up, this man is going to have on a black suit, this man is going to have on black glasses, this man is going to have on a gray shirt and a pink and black tie. You have the name, but you also have more details. So if a man named Carlos shows up, but his name is Carlos Martinez, you know that that's not the Carlos you're looking for. If a man named Carlos shows up, but this man's name is Carlos Smith, you know that that's not the Carlos you're looking for. Carlos in English is Charles, Brother Charles. And if you meet a man named Charles Valenzuela, you know that that's not the man that you are looking for because you have the name. Even if you do have a man named Carlos Valenzuela who picks you up, if he is not wearing a black suit with a gray tie, with a gray shirt, with a black and pink tie, that is not the one that you are looking for. You see, there are more details. You don't have just the name. You have more details than just the name. And when we think about the Lord's church, we have more details than just the name that we are supposed to follow, just the name that we are supposed to have. We have the worship and the practice of the church clearly laid out for us in the scripture. When we look at John chapter 4 and the verse is 24, John the chapter is 4 and the verse is 24, there the Bible reads, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So not only do we have the Church of Christ, we have the need to worship God in spirit, meaning with the right attitude, and we have the need to worship God in truth, which means in the right way. The truth in worship is worshiping God the way we worship God, by praying to God, by partaking of the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis, by singing without instrumental music in worship, by offering to God, by hearing God's word. These are the things that God has commanded us to do when it comes to worship. Many also believe that the collection can be used for anything that man would consider good. But the church funds are only to be used to help needy saints and to support the preaching of the gospel, as those are the only things we see the collection being used for in the scripture. So although the church that Jesus built went by several names in the New Testament, it was all the church of Christ. It was all the same thing. And that brings us to our second point. The church that Jesus built does all that the Lord authorizes. The church that Jesus built does all that the Lord authorized. The church doesn't act on its own authority. No one has the authority to do as they see fit. And at least they don't have the authority from God. Man may have the authority from other men, but not from God. God has commandments, God has apostolic examples, and God has necessary inferences that must be followed if we wish to make heaven our home. Jesus said that all authority belongs to Him, according to Matthew chapter 28 and the verses 18. Paul said, he has recorded for us in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and the verse is 17, that whatever we do in word or in deed must be done by the authority of Christ. The Lord's church believes the silence of the Scriptures prohibits and does not permit. Where denominations act on their own authority and disregard what the Scriptures are silent to, and in many cases disregard what has also been spoken. This question, are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven, comes about because many people think that the Church of Christ is just another denomination. Because they lack understanding, they drive by the building and they see Church of Christ and they just think another church. Another denomination. And that's where the error lies, because the church is not a denomination. The church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, is not a denomination. You see, a denomination is defined as a group of religious congregations united under a common faith and common name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. So they have men telling men what to do. They have local earthly headquarters. Our headquarters is Jesus. Our headquarters is where the head is. And that is Jesus Christ. That is in heaven. To say that members of the Church of Christ are the only ones going to heaven is to assume that the Church of Christ is a denomination. When people falsely assume that the Church of Christ is a denomination and hear that in order to be saved, one must be a member of the Lord's church and that church is the Church of Christ, they get upset. Because Who has the right? What denomination has the right to say that they are the only ones going to heaven? And the answer to that question is no denomination has the right, because no denomination will be saved. No denomination will see heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one church. Jesus built one church. In Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I denotes who was going to build it. Jesus was going to build it. He was going to build my. That means it's going to belong to Him. And He was going to build His church. Singular. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Singular. All of these denominations would make sense if Jesus said, "I will build my churches, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them." But that's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures clearly say, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." One and only. The word "the" is a definite article meaning just that. One and only. To argue that saved people are in denominations is to say that there is another way of getting to heaven other than the way that Christ Himself has said, which is the only true way through Him, according to John chapter 14 and the verses 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, the word "the," definite article meaning one and only. Jesus is saying, "I am the one and only way, the one and only truth, the one and only life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ." Now, that brings up this idea. If we care so much about people in denominations, if we care so much about people in the world, which we should, because those are souls that need saving, then we should fulfill our duties as Christians and evangelize to them, showing them the truth in the Scriptures, showing them where they need to be. Because so many people go where they go, because they don't know the truth of the Scriptures. So many people do what they do because they don't know the truth of the Scriptures. And just like someone taught each and every one of us the truth of the Scriptures, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to do the exact same thing. Everything done by the church must be authorized. Everything done by the church must be authorized. The New Testament church has an authoritative description. It has an authorized description, an authorized worship, an authorized plan of salvation, authorized organization, an authorized mission. Everything done by the body must be authorized by the head. There is one head, which is Christ, and there is one body, which is the church, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. So the church that Jesus built went by several names in the New Testament, but those names were not different. The church that Jesus built does all that the Lord authorizes. And our third and final point on this evening is this. The church that Jesus built is the only church that will see heaven. The church that Jesus built is the only church that will see heaven. The Scriptures teach that the Lord adds the saved to the church. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. The chapter is 2, and the verse is 47. Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 47. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, there the Bible reads, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers, day by day, those who were being saved." The New King James Version says, "And the Lord added to the church, day by day, those who were being saved." When 3,000 souls were baptized, they were added to the church. Which church? His church. The church of Christ. They weren't added to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church wasn't around back then. They weren't added to the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church wasn't around back then. They weren't added to the Presbyterian, the Mormon, the Lutheran, the Seventh-day Adventist. None of these churches, they were not added to any of these churches because these churches did not exist when the Lord added 3,000 souls to the church, and that was His church, the Church of Christ. What good is telling people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear? What good is any man or any woman's opinion? Romans chapter 3 and the verses 4 says, "Let God be true, though every man were a liar." What people need to hear is that the Lord adds the saved to the church, the one and only church, and that is His church. Jesus is also the Savior of the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and the verses are 22 and 23. Ephesians, the chapter is 5, and the verses are 22 and 23. There the Bible reads, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, so also is Christ the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." One head, one body. Jesus is going to save His body. He is the Savior of His church. He is the Savior of the church that He built, the church that belongs to Him, the church that He died for, the church of Christ. The saved are members of the church, and the church is made up of the saved. No one outside of the one church that Jesus built will be saved. And that's exactly what our scriptural text tells us. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but who? Those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many," He says, "will say to me on that day," and that day is the day of judgment, "'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many mighty works in your name and cast out demons in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart from me, you who practice sin.'" The Lord has one church. The Lord is the Savior of one church. No one outside of that church is going to be saved. And just to further answer the question, are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? Well, if by this question one is asking, if all that matters is the name above the door, then the answer to that question is no. As we have already discussed, there are those who wear the name Church of Christ, but do not use the Scriptures as their only authority. However, if by this question one is asking if they have to be a part of the one church that Jesus established in order to reach heaven, then the answer to that question is yes. There is only one. This is the question that should be asked, and this is the question that should be answered. Are Christians the only ones going to heaven? And the answer to that question is an astounding yes. Christians are the only ones going to heaven. And where are these Christians found? The Church of Christ. So, where do you stand on this evening? If you disagree with this truth, understand that it is not me that you disagree with. Understand that it is not the members of this congregation that you disagree with. It is the Lord that you disagree with. You know, when I've had Bible studies with people, they've often brought up this question. Well, you mean to tell me that my Baptist grandmother, who was the sweetest lady I ever knew, who was kind to everybody, who resembled Christ so well, you mean to tell me that she's in hell, that she's going to be eternally lost? And my response to that is, I didn't know your grandmother. I don't know the relationship that she had with the Lord. All I know is what the Scriptures teach. And the Scriptures teach that in order for us to see heaven, we have to be a member of the one church that Jesus built, and that church is the Church of Christ. And when we look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, when the rich man realized that there was nothing he could do, we have to understand the thing that we can pull from that is that it doesn't matter where our loved ones are. It doesn't matter if they're in paradise or if they're in torment. They want us to be in paradise. They want us to make the right decision. They want us to respond properly to the gospel. And that is what God expects us to do. I would rather be a member of the church that the Lord died for than my grandmother died in. We have to understand that there is only one. We have to understand that in order to get into that one, we have to obey the gospel, which starts by hearing God's word, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and rising up to walk in newness of life. Many of us have probably already done that, but God expects us to live faithfully to Him. God expects us to continue to do our job in His church, to continue to do our part in His body. And if you are here this evening and you are a Christian and you have struggled in doing your part in the Lord's church, you have an opportunity to make that right with Him. You have an opportunity to do so tonight by praying to Him and asking Him for forgiveness, by repenting and turning away from the evil in your life and asking for prayers on your behalf from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Or maybe there's something that you're just struggling with. Excuse me. Maybe there's something that's heavy on your heart. Maybe there's things that are going on and you just need the prayers of the congregation. You have the opportunity to present that as well. You have the opportunity to make that known and to have your brothers and sisters go to God on your behalf. Wherever you are on this evening, we ask that you make a wise-hearted decision while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.